Good, good. I think everybody knows me. My name is Brian. I'm excited to preach to you this morning. It's been over a year since I've preached, so I might be a tad bit rusty, so bear with me. Hope everything goes well. I know the Lord will bless our time together today with us. I want us to imagine for a minute that there is a man who is living in a world where society is in an uproar. It's chaos all around him. The political system they live in is a mess. There was turmoil in the church. People were dropping dead like flies because of an epidemic. His home became a hospital because they took in all these people who were sick. His firstborn child should have almost died. And his wife was pregnant with her second child. And he himself was suffering from a heart problem and an intestinal complication that caused horrific pain. Imagine if you were this person, what would you do? That leads us to a reading today in your Bibles. If you open up to Psalm 46, it's called God is Our Fortress. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when her morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. This is the key verse in the whole chapter. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So I just told you about a man with all these pain, suffering, and agony. And we just read Psalm 46. So who was this guy that we were just talking about? It was none other than Martin Luther, who was the founder of the Protestant Reformation. The reason we are sitting here today in this church is Martin Luther's work to rebel against the Catholic Church and post the 99 Theses on the wall of the Catholic Church, showing them that the Bible is true. This same man that did that is going through such pain and agony. He was suffering such heartache. He goes on the right in your hymnals in front of you. It's hymn number 8. It is called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's one of the most popular hymns of all time. That he wrote that hymn because of the pain and agony. And during that pain and agony, we have Psalm 46. There's a quote from Martin Luther. He says, I spent more than a week in death and in hell. My entire body was in pain and still tremble. Completely abandoned by Christ, I labored under vacillations and storms of desperations and blasphemy against God. This is Martin Luther. He felt abandoned by God. This same guy, Martin Luther, literally changed the focus of what the church is today. But yet he felt abandoned by God. He felt trapped in a corner. How many of us have felt trapped in the corner, literally where we feel like we're getting pressed on and pressed on? You get back in the corner and there's nowhere for you to go. You feel so anguished that literally there's no end in sight. That's what Martin Luther felt. But what's beautiful about this story, what's beautiful about Psalm 46, we feel that when we feel backed in a corner, we feel abandoned, we feel like God is far away from us. But guess what? Was he alone? Jesus was with him. He never left him, not one time. In the pain and the anguish and death and all these things, Jesus was near. He wasn't abandoned. He didn't abandon him. He won't abandon him. He won't abandon us. It was Jesus who was able to help him through. It was Jesus who pulled him through these storms. The first line in the famous hymn that I just told you, the first verse says, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of all mortal ills prevails." That's God. That's what happens when our storms and in times of trouble. We see Martin Luther again. He was the man who created and started the Protestant Reformation. But he suffered. He had pain. He was in pain. He was scared. He struggled dearly. So we've seen Martin Luther and his struggles, and yet what he did with his struggles. Now let's look in the Old Testament, the history of this Psalm 46 that we just read. There's history behind it. We'll see in the Old Testament, what about the people of Israel? We're going to talk about a miraculous story all the way back with King Hezekiah. That's what this psalm is about, this time of King Hezekiah. We see one of the greatest victories of all the Bible. We see the story of Hezekiah and the Assyrians. Now, the mighty Assyrians were people who literally, the empire they had, literally took whatever they wanted, claimed whatever they want, whatever land they wanted, they took. They were powerful. Whatever they wanted, they got. But we also know it is the Lord who sovereignly allows these empires to take over Israel. The Assyrians, the Egyptians, all these things, God allows that to happen because of the stupidity of the Israelites. So we have the Assyrians who literally are waiting in line, just waiting outside of Jerusalem to come in, attack, seize, and take over Jerusalem. They were in trouble. There was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide for the Jewish people. They weren't going to be able to stop the Assyrians. It wasn't going to happen on their own. Again, the enemy was ready to pounce. But yet, we see that through the prophet Hezekiah actually had to humble himself and pray to the Lord to help them. On your own time, read Isaiah 37. It's a beautiful chapter. We see in this that the Assyrians are literally outside of Jerusalem waiting to come in. And yet the Lord miraculously takes down 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in a single night. Not a weapon, not a sword, not anything was needed to take down the Assyrian army. It was God. It was God who rescued them. It was God who rescued Hezekiah. It was God who rescued the people of Jerusalem. That is a miraculous work. No work of Hezekiah or the Israelites to protect them. They didn't do it. It was all God. Now I want you to see with this book, this Psalm 46, this psalm tells us that God is enough for whatever we face. Now you may be thinking in your head, well, you don't know me. You don't know what's going on. I'm telling you, whatever trouble you are in, there's no trouble big enough that God cannot protect us and help us through that storm. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 46. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." The key to the psalm that I want us to see is three main points. Three main points are, God is our refuge. Now, I want you to remember these next. I'm going to tell you the point, then I'm going to tell you an after point. So, God is a refuge is the first point we're going to talk about a little bit. With that point, we shall not fear. Most of you know that phrase is used the most in the Bible, "You shall not fear." But yet we'll see, we fear. Second main point is God is our strength. We shall not be faint. And the third point is God is our help. We shall not fret, or we shall not be anxious. Now, I want you to write this down. I want you to think about it all throughout the sermon. This is the question I want to ask you. When the times of trouble, when the times of heartache come upon your life, when the difficulties come, what do you do? When the times of difficulties come, what do you do? Think about that for a minute. We know the Sunday school answer. We pray, right? We seek Jesus. That's the Sunday school answer. But I want you to be honest with yourself. When bad news comes, what do you do first? Just think about that as we go on. Now I'm going to speak to you personally on this. For myself, when trouble comes, when the storms comes, when the things you figure out, you have no idea how you're going to get through them. Again, all of us are probably living in that right now. I know, speaking for me, life isn't easy. Look at the world around us. It's not easy. When the troubles come, the first thing we usually do is question. Why, God? Why is this happening? That's one thing I know I do personally. The next thing I do is get fearful and retreat to myself, retreat to my own, not physically alone, but your own little space where you don't want anybody else to get in there. Then the third thing I do is I start to worry. How am I going to do this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to get through this? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? But what I want you to know in this psalm, we can keep going. We don't need to retreat. We don't need to hide. We're going to talk about hiding in a different way, but we don't need to hide and be by ourselves. The first point, God is our refuge. Some of your translations may have fortress, but a refuge is a word that means safe, sheltered from danger. So when we think about refuge, what we're talking about here is something that is safe, sheltered from danger. When the hard times comes, everyone needs a refuge. That's what I want you to focus on. Everyone needs a refuge. We all have them. But what I want to look at is the right refuge. We need a refuge to hide before we go out and get back in. And now when I say hide, this is we're looking at something different, not literally going by ourselves, but we're going to see that with God is different when I use the word hide. In the first verse, we see the word trouble. In the Hebrew, it translates to tight places. Remember what I told you when Martin Luther felt like he was in a corner? He was in a tight place. We feel like we are in tight places where the pressure is on and we can't get out. We can't figure out how to get through it. These are the bad situations, the hard times in our life is where we get tight places. But we also have to see with God. God has a track record, a perfect track record of being there for His people. Think about the Israelites in the Old Testament. They would screw up, and what would God do? Rescue them. If they screw up again, God would rescue them. If they screw up again, He would rescue them again. Over and over again, His track record is that He helps His people. So we also have to realize that God enjoys bringing us out of these places. Think of the term Savior. What does Savior mean? To save us. He enjoys saving us from these situations that we come upon in our life. Verse 2, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea." Because God is our refuge and we know that He is there, we have to know and have the mentality of we will not fear. He tells us again, over and over again in the Bible, we shall not fear. me personally, and maybe you, we have the tendency to keep being scared in situations. Until when? When we think everything's going to be all right. We have a solution to the problem. That's when we stop fearing. When we think we have it figured out. We stress and stress until we know everything is going to be okay. Especially when you have a child, when your kid hurts himself, he or she hurts themselves, we're all in a rage, we're panicking, we're worried. But when we know he's okay, everything calms down and it's all good. We should know that God knows what he's doing. When God tells you, do not fear, you shall not fear, you shall not fear, should we believe it? Yes, because he knows what he's doing. The next few verses in the psalm literally talk about the chaos. There's earthquakes, there's monsoons. Whatever it can be, it is. We can remain calm and confident, not because of what we do, but because of what God does. Think about now, even in our time now, how many floods have happened in the last few weeks? Massive floods everywhere. But God is still there. He is still present in the situation. Whatever it may be, he is still there. The psalmist is showing by the things, there is nothing we are not able to be sheltered by. Again, repeat that. There's nothing that we cannot be sheltered by. Then we see the word troubled again in verse 3, talking about all the things around us going bad. I would say around our society, a lot of things are going bad. We have no need to fear. God is our refuge. But we have to see that, again, everybody has a refuge. When the trouble comes, when the things that happen in your life come, what do you do? What is your refuge? Everyone has a refuge. When something goes bad, you run to something when things go bad. Unfortunately, it's not always God. Some people run to alcohol when things get bad. Some people run to drugs. Some people run to food when things get bad. That's what I do. When I stress out, I eat. Why? We think it gives us some sort of comfort. It's going to make things better. Some people, again, run to themselves. They want to be by themselves. They think that's going to fix the situation, that's going to protect us. But when difficulty comes, we need to run to God, who is our refuge, who is our protection. Relate this to kids again. When a kid is scared, what is the first thing a kid does when he gets scared? Runs to their mom or dad, and then the parents embrace them with a big hug. Yes? That's what we need to do. We need to run to our refuge, who is God, our Father. There's no better feeling to see a kid run to their parents and they embrace them in a hug. That's what God does. He protects us. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 32. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule in justice. Each will be like a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry place, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land. Jesus is that rock who is the protection. For us, he is that rock of protection in the weary land that we live in. Again, we must run to our refuge. He is that protection. But we also see it's not sometimes, it's not majority of time. He is always our refuge. He will protect you and lift you up when you are down. When we are at our lowest point in life, our lowest points of trouble and times, God is there to lift you up. Verse 7-11, we see the word fortress used twice. Fortress here is translated to high places. We talked earlier about when you're at your lowest point, what do you need? You need refuge. You need someone to protect you. We see the fortress here is translated to a high place. So when you're at your lowest point that you can think of that you've ever been, yet, where's the fortress? It's higher. It's the opposite. When we feel we are at our lowest, we can be at a point where we feel like we can't get out, and yet God lifts us up and He hides us for a bit. This is where we talked about it's different. Hiding you is different. He picks us up, He hides us for a bit. We take cover in Him to heal for a bit. He hides us with His under His protection. He hides you with His protection. Then He lifts you up out of your lowly point. Once you were low, but now you are high, then you can literally imagine how many of you flew before. When you're up flying in the sky and you look out the window and you see all the things underneath you, it gives you a different vantage point. Now, when you're at your lowest point and God has lifted you up, it's like that. You see what God has rescued you from. You're up here and you see all the things below you. You can see where literally God has rescued you from. Our second point is God is our strength. Now, a lot of people sometimes give God stereotypes and think He's a certain way, and that's they put Him kind of in a box. And this kind of stereotype is kind of what we're looking at. For example, sometimes we feel like God is always coddling us like we're little babies, little children, that we need to be babied all the time. That God is going to treat us like a little child. But in all honesty, God doesn't protect us and hide us for that time in order to baby us. That's not what He's doing. He's not coddling you. What He's doing is He is protecting you in these trials. But He in this protection, guess what He's doing? He is preparing you for something else. This is something that I have struggled with because you don't understand at the time of this trial the things that are going on. What God is doing. We don't get in the mind of God and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I can't figure it out. But He is preparing you for something else. When the sickness comes or the cancer comes or whatever it may be, you don't understand, how in the world am I going to get through this? But yet, God is preparing you for something bigger and better. Now, that doesn't always mean it's going to be better here. Because that's not how life works. But once we get to heaven, we get the rewards that were promised in the Bible, these things will work themselves out. In this process of us going through these trials, again, we must run to a refuge, the person who protects us, who strengthens us, and ultimately who prepares us for something new, something better. We're not always going to understand the trial. But in this preparation, again, He is hiding us to strengthen us so we can go back in that storm. Because I don't know about you, you don't just have one storm in your life. More times than not, it's going to be storms. Especially as Christians, if you ever heard the term, well, it's going to be easier when you become a Christian. That's not true at all. It's not easier. It's harder for us to be a Christian than anybody else. But we got to go back in the storm. We got to go back in life. We can't just hide and sulk in it because that's how we feel. It makes us feel better. But we got to get back in it because, again, it's not us who strengthen us to go out and do it, but yet God gives us the strength to get back out in life and do what you're supposed to do. So the question is, how do you do that? He hides us, He heals us, He prepares us, He strengthens us. So how do we go back in to face the rest of life? How do we do it? Look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. There is a river. Psalm 1:3 says, He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In it he prospers. We have a hidden resource that the non-Christian people don't have, the lost people do not have. We literally have a tap that we can go to the living water whenever we want to. We can drink from it. That is our superpower that no one else has. Turn your Bibles to John 7, 37 through 38. John 7, 37 through 38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow the rivers of living water. This living water that we have the Holy Spirit who can help us and guide us and get us through the situations that we don't think we can get through. We can tap into that resource. We can help us get help that we need to get through the trial. Again, it's like going to your sinking home. When you want to drink water, you go to the sink and drink the water. We have that with God. Whenever we need a drink of that living water, we just go to the tap and get it. But then this question arises, then why don't we tap into that all the time? Why do we try to do it ourselves? Why do we think that we can fix the problem? Why do we think that we're going to get us through the situation? Numerous times in our lives we've seen the mistakes that we made when we try to fix it. Especially the men in here, we try to fix everything. But we can't. It is this living water that is the power that can get us back out in the storm, the back out in life when we don't want to go back. Again, in our own inward being, we want to keep hiding. We want for God to kiss us and make it better. Like where we were kids, we want mom to kiss it and make it better. But that's not how life works. That's not how God works. So He hides us for a short time. He protects us. He strengthens us to get back out there. Then the coolest thing happens in verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, but He utters His voice, the earth melts. Look, the key with there is that He utters His voice, the earth melts. God utters His voice in this psalm. He speaks. When His people pray and seek Him and seek His refuge, seek Him as their refuge, draw close to Him, look what He does. We shall not fear. We shall not faint. Look what He does. He literally changes the world. All He has to do is utter His voice and the earth melts. That's the living water that we have. That's our God. That is our refuge. If we move to our final point, third and final point. God is our help. Let's look at verse 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. I want you to look at a few things there. There's one word in there that's the key to those two verses. He brought desolation. He makes war cease. He breaks the bow. He burns the chariots. Who's he? God does it. It's not me. It's not you. It's not us. But he. It's he who gets us through it, not us. We can't and we won't. In this trial with Hezekiah and the Israelites, it wasn't Hezekiah, it wasn't the Israelites who saved them, who killed the soldiers. They couldn't, but yet it was God who did it. When the difficulty arises, we feel like we got to fix it. Again, we talked about it earlier. We want to figure it out. But again, what happens when we do that? It doesn't work. Something else happens. Another storm comes. The problem is, Jerusalem wasn't going to figure it out. They weren't going to be able to do it. They weren't going to beat the Assyrian army. No matter what they did, no matter what, how many soldiers they had, they weren't going to do it. But yet, they had to humble themselves and pray for the Lord's help and ask and seek the Lord's refuge to get them through this time. Let me look at verse 10. Probably the greatest verse, in my opinion, in this chapter. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. How many of you have trouble being still? I have my two children here right now that they can't sit still for 2 minutes. But the same as adults. We have to do something to keep us going. We can't just sit still and just listen. Just sit still and don't try to do anything, but be still. Had no pastor that would say, who referenced this verse, and he would say, "Hush! And be still and know that I'm God." We struggle with just hushing, shutting our mouth and not talking and figuring something out, and just listen and know that He is God. Take your hands off the situation. Take your hands off the problem. How many of us can do that? Especially as parents, you see your kids struggling with something and you want to go in and just fix it. But sometimes you got to take your hands off and say, it's got to happen the way it's going to happen. We get anxious, we get nervous when the trials arise. We get nervous and anxious when we're trying to figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. We mess ourselves up when we should just sit still and know that He is God. Know that He has it planned out. In His sovereignty, He knows exactly what is going to happen. So this next thing that I say, it gets me in trouble a lot. I say it to my wife, Heidi, and the kids. I say, just relax. We need to just relax and know that He is God. Know that He is the only God. There's no one like Him. There's no one who can do it but Him. No matter how smart we think we are, no matter how good we think we are, you can't fix it. But He's got it. Again, it goes back to His perfect track record. He's got it. Now, this last verse, verse 11, it may seem like just a normal verse, but let's read it. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." That's pretty self-explanatory, but... And when I was doing my studies for this, I was listening to a pastor named Warren Wiersbe. And he had a sermon on this chapter. And he said, "In my studies, I heard a pastor say, I'm glad he quoted the God of Jacob." Which we just read. He quoted the God of Jacob. Why did he quote the God of Jacob? He could have quoted the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the great work of Abraham, we have Moses, but he said the God of Jacob. What type of person was Jacob? Jacob was a deceiver. He deceived his brother Esau. He was a manipulator. He doubted. He did stupid things because he put his hands on it and couldn't be still and know that it's God who's doing things. He had to put his hands in there. He was impatient. He deceived. He messed stuff up. We messed stuff up. But God, by the Holy Spirit, chose to put the God of Jacob there. Because we relate to Jacob. The Israelites relate to Jacob. He messed things up. It wasn't until Jacob literally wrestled with God. How many of you can say that you've wrestled physically with God? And that your hip popped, that Jesus literally popped his hip out of place. It was a literally wrestled with God. It took that for Jacob to be still and know that he is God. And that he was in control and not him. So that little snippet then, the last verse that we didn't think of it, but we see the God of Jacob relates so much. Jacob relates to us. We want to put our hands in it. We want to mess things up. He had to know God was going to help him. That he couldn't do it. As we wrap up the Psalm 46, we just talked about Jacob. We see God will protect us. He will hide us. He will protect us. He will strengthen us to get back out there. And there's no greater comfort knowing that God is protecting us. But that is as a Christian, and He will protect us. For those who don't put their faith and trust in the work of Jesus Christ, know that He died on the cross for our salvation. This should bring great caution. Because God isn't going to protect everyone. He doesn't protect everyone. He doesn't strengthen everyone. It depends on what side of the cross you are on. Are you on the side of the cross that we believe that Jesus was literally hammered to the cross and died on the cross for our sins and on the third day raised again to life? Are you on that side? Or are you on the side of God doesn't exist, Jesus doesn't exist, Jesus didn't come to the earth, I don't believe Him, I know better than Him, I'm smarter than Him, I know better than Him. If you're on that side, you should be cautious. We have talked about we are to run to our refuge, to our fortress, we are to run to God when times of trouble arise. We should run to Him like we did when we were kids, to our father and to our mother. That's what we are to do. Have faith in the Lord. Have a faith in Christ that He will get you through. Or are you running to whatever refuge you think will help you? Whatever that refuge you may think is doing good for you, protecting you and all these things, it's not. It's not going to help you in your life of troubles. Think about it this way. Are you willing to risk standing in sin later and finding out that there is no protection? That there is no strength? You are not going to be hit. You are going to face the consuming fire. That's what's going to happen if you are on the wrong side of the cross. If you are not running to God as your refuge. We see when you're on the right side of the cross, you are delivered from your sins. Again, no greater feeling knowing that God has protected you, saved you from your past mistakes, your future mistakes, your present mistakes. Are you going to do that? Or do you want to be destructed in the end? Where there is no protection. But either way, if you're a Christian, you have to put your faith and trust in Christ, or you're a lost sinner who rejects God, guess what's going to happen? Look at the second part of verse 10. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Either way, you put your faith and trust in Christ, or you reject Him, God will be exalted either way. That doesn't change who He is. He will be glorified no matter what. This psalm shows us we are at our lowest point. God pulls us out of that storm. He pulls us out. He pulled Israel out when they were at their lowest point. He defended them. He defends us. He rescued them. He rescues us. He gave them confidence. He gives us confidence knowing that He is God. He gave protection to Israel when they didn't deserve it. He gives protection to us when we don't deserve it. We get His grace when we don't deserve it. No matter what it is, no matter what you think, He will protect you. Martin Luther, as we get near a close, Martin Luther found solace in his horrific time of pain and suffering. Literally, think about knowing that you literally left the biggest church, the Catholic Church at the time. Literally, people wanted to kill him. They wanted to beat him. He got beat up. He was rebelling against what was known only church at that time. He was rebelling in it. Then the only solace that he could find in this horrific time of pain were in the words of the 46th Psalm. He said, in the darkest days of his life, he would tell his friend Philip, "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm." All the pain and anguish that he went through, literally, this was his help alongside God as his refuge. He opened the 46th Psalm and sang it with his friend. Likewise, when we are in pain and suffering, when you feel trapped, when you feel like you're in the storm of your life, where you don't see an end, you don't feel like it's ever going to stop, you don't know how you're going to get through, when you feel alone, we should run to our refuge in Christ, but we should also run to the 46th Psalm. Just the book of Psalms in general. Run to the book of Psalms when you're struggling with something. Read about David and his struggles. That's what I do when I'm struggling and I just feel like I can't. Go back and read the book of Psalms and see the pain and anguish, and yet God is the refuge. We will do our own selves a good service in just reading Psalm 46. Read it every week. Read it when you're struggling. Over and over again, the 46. Because ultimately, God is our refuge. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here and as we close, we just pray, Lord, that whatever the storm, whatever the trial in our lives that we're going through, because we're all going through something, if not going through something, it's about to come, because it always does. We just pray that You will help us and lead us to You as our refuge, that we will run to You no matter what it is. We may feel embarrassed or shame, but we know that You are there to protect us, strengthen us, and to prepare us for something. What else You have for us next, Lord? We ask these things in Your precious name. Amen.